Anthropic coincidences? What are anthropic coincidences?
The fact that you think that they are meaningful, but they really are just random.
No. That's not what it... No.
No, in the sense that...
All it means is that... Interesting.
Any way that it would have happened, you would have always... also.
Right,
said
but we're talking about in areas of like the most minute mathematical differentiation. That if something were... If the difference between A and B is 0.00000000001,
right.
The slightest, meaning 0.00 times a million, one, deviation from that that minuscule mathematical thing would create chaos. Okay? That's the essence of anthropic coincidences. Okay, and therefore, the theory seems to believe the idea that the universe is fine-tuned for our existence. Because this very narrow, when I say narrow, I can't even, again, human description isn't doing justice to the term. Such an absurd path that took us from the creation of the universe to humanity. Okay, Dan, you had a question? That's what it means. It means like, what do you call it? Through process of universe. Coincidences. Now, what are the arguments against this? Okay, that's what I'm going to take up first. There are commonly three, on this piece of paper, there are three common questions raised against this anthropic coincidence. And to be clear, no one's suggesting God at this point. This has nothing to do with God. This just has to do with the idea of the universe is fine-tuned for human existence. We don't care about God at this point. Okay, there are three arguments against it. One argument is that, well, listen, we don't know. Look at number one. The requirements for life are unknown. The anthropic coincidence theory, right, presupposes the idea that we know what is required for life to evolve. How does life evolve? So we know we're, just an example, we're carbon-based life forms, right? Everyone agree with that? Okay. However, it's possible. Now let's go into fantasy land.
Look, we should look different.
Get even more scientific. When we think about aliens, isn't it a funny thing that in all movies, aliens usually are projections of humans? Right. They're just green, right? But the truth is that maybe we have no idea. Well, how life would evolve.
You might not. You might say that it's not a thin in. That's what they think aliens are. That's a thin in.
Oh, but see, no. One second. Thank you. You fell into that trap. So what? A second. What he said is perfect. You're still projecting onto it like some type of carbon, let's say, expression of life. But how do we know? One second, Mordechai. We don't know the idea of what requirement for life are. We've chosen the path of hydrogen to carbon to this. I know I'm skipping obviously a lot of steps, right? As that's the way to life, but we don't know that for sure. We just don't have the imagination to think of other possible scientific ways that life could have emerged. Is that clear? In other words, one kasha is that here, like maybe for instance, maybe life could be non-carbon based, or maybe hydrogen can evolve into life. We don't know if hydrogen, it just hasn't evolved into life. Maybe it could. Maybe just our imagination is limited. What?
Hydrogen can only make one bond.
I know, but maybe, again, maybe our exposure to hydrogen so far in the 13.7 billion years of the universe has been this much. Turns out, as we evolve as a species, we'll figure out some way by manipulating quarks that'll, poof, make hydrogen somehow give out to life. We don't know. Okay, good. I'm happy you, what do you call it? Score one for Greensburg. Okay.
I'm saying,
much stronger replacing hydrogen with silicon.
Oh, that's a classic one used. But right. But why stop there? I'm just saying, our imagination, we're creative people, right? So right now, we're convinced that the only path to life is the way it has emerged. Right. But maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're just not thinking creative enough. Maybe there are other pathways that could produce life. And by the way, I'm leaving the word life ambiguous for a reason. Because what life is a great question. That when we take up personal identity, we'll get more into what life is. But for example, if I find a bacteria on an asteroid, okay, is that considered life?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Or is...
It has the potential to develop in something.
Right. So it's a very big... Again, I'm not going to answer now. It's a very big question about where the line is, right? I don't think anyone here would think that a hydrogen atom is life.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, we have
someone
who's we? Many in the scientific community think that to be the case. And those are categories. But again, it all comes down to, is that simply an issue of our lacking in creativity?
If bacteria was life, then the idea of... bacteria killing life.
So?
You're not allowed to do that.
That kind of life we are. Anyway, okay, next.
Those lives.
Okay, next. Second kasha on anthropic coincidences is that, well, like I said before, there's 0.001, right? And if it was deviated by plus or minus 0.1, it would change everything. But maybe we'll come up with conventional scientific explanations to answer that issue, okay? We'll come up with simple explanations for these supposed, what we call, coincidences, okay? So, for example, right now, there's a firm belief among physicists, right, that there is a unified force behind the three non-gravitational forces. When we do physics in the second part of the year, I'll explain to you what those are. The standard theory in physics right now is there are four forces that control the entire universe. That's it. Which, by the way, is amazing. Why the number four? Why is that cool? There's no need for to say this, but because remember how Aristotle thought the universe is broke down to four, right? It's interesting that we're still back at four. But anyway, what are the four? What are the four? The four.
Food.
The four are no. The four are the weak, right, electromagnetic force, weak nuclear, strong gravity. Nuclear, and gravity. Excluding gravity, most physicists believe that there's one force that ultimately combines together strong, weak. Stop throwing out random words. That unifies together the strong, weak, and electromagnetic. But the point is, the answer to coincidence is to say it's not a coincidence. Rather, what is it? There's a scientific explanation. By the way, in a theological way. Next point. The third kasha usually brought on anthropic coincidences, right, comes from the idea that, again, maybe the only way the universe could have come into existence is this way. I mean, there is no choice. There's no choice in the matter. There is no idea of saying 0.001 plus or minus, because plus or minus makes no sense. There's only one. It wasn't, right, okay? Okay, meaning, if I look over where I wrote A, if we trace everything in the universe back to a set of fundamental laws, then they become the reason why things are the way they are, meaning it could only have been this way. There's no room for maneuvering. So it's not like, when we say plus or minus, that's an absurd statement. The universe only could have been this way.
Wait, why were the laws
there's
the
still,
way they are?
Still a chance.
Because, hold on, I'll get to that. Is there?
Isn't there?
Is there? Ask that first.
What?
Chance. No.
There's no such thing as chance.
Well,
meaning it could be predicted.
Certainly, in looking through, ignoring quantum, looking through the lens of classical physics, no. There's no such thing as chance.
So if I
we'll get to quantum. Quantum is just indeterminate. Doesn't mean it's chance. But there's a difference.
Chance just means if I roll a dice, there's six equals amount of, like, you can do the math, but there's still six equals.
Right, so what this is saying is that, but why don't we say by the universe that there's only one way the universe is going to be? That's this way.
Yeti. I'm sorry. If I dropped the dice and I knew all like the angles and like the
you know what the dice would go in.
Like,
or the coin's an easier example. If I flip a coin and I knew wind patterns, friction, etc., blah, blah, I could always predict how the coin would.
Yeah, there's a machine that could flip a coin and you program it to like hedge or
tail. It's our lack of knowledge that leads us to the estimation saying, "Oh, I didn't know it was going to be six on the die." It's just a lack of information. And that mean that it's not that it's not that it's unpredictable. I know we feel that way. Like, I never knew it would have been a six. No, it was known. Okay?
How, based on the law of physics, could you say that,
Takashas, three questions on anthropic coincidences. Number one, maybe we're just not creative enough in how life could emerge. Maybe it could emerge in another pathway. Number two, maybe the idea is that we can come up with an explanation for these supposed coincidences. And number three, that maybe there's no room for choice. The universe had to be the way it is because that's the only universe that it could have been. Okay. So,
we haven't found another one.
What about the fact that we wouldn't be observing life if we weren't alive?
Why is that Akasha? Mm-hmm. Why is that Akasha?
Okay, so let's say the
classic responses to this. And I'm just summarizing a lot of different philosopher/cosmologist stuff, how they answer this. So one of them is like this, and this is the most important thing. The objective of anthropic coincidences is not a scientific argument. Okay? It's not. When I say, wow, look, 0.00001, deviate by 0.infinite 1, no more universe, that's not a scientific argument. It's what kind of argument?
Philosophical,
okay? So if you're searching for scientific rigor through arguments about anthropic coincidences, you're not going to get anywhere. You can't win. All we're trying to show with this type of reasoning is what we call plausible arguments. Okay, what's a plausible argument?
Possible.
It's possible. Meaning I have in front of me different roads I could take. One of the goals in philosophy is to get you to the point where you have different, putting free will to the side, we have different positions in front of you, and now what can you do? You have enough information to choose which position makes the most sense, right? So anthropic coincidences, we'll see about that. But anthropic coincidences they're not a scientific argument. That's a mistake people make, okay? So with that said, so I wrote over here, the question one then weighs is whether anthropic coincidences in the regards for life is more or less plausible than the alternative. In other words, those who argue against anthropic coincidences are not providing a scientific argument. We're searching for credibility, not what is subject to rigorous proof. Okay, so for example, one could point to the absurdly small numbers, such as Planck time, and say with confidence that an obscenely small shift in these already small numbers means no life. One could argue that life could also emerge from hydrogen, but it's certainly not the simpler explanation. That's the key. The key is like this. The key is that using our creativity, can we come up with a series of explanations for life and say, The most reasonable one, or the one that seems the most plausible, is this one. That doesn't mean life could not emerge in some other way. It's just a question of, do we have the right to say this is the most reasonable argument? Some would argue and say, no. But in philosophy, we can say, okay, I have a bunch of arguments in front of me. I can stick to the one of this being the most plausible argument and live with it. Okay? That's an important consideration. That's like a life lesson. Okay? A life lesson. You always, sometimes we mix up scientific arguments. It's the smallest amount of time possible. When you get past Planck time and time, time ceases to exist in any way we can understand it. Okay. It's like, again, it's another quantum idea. But you have to understand that. The goal in philosophy is to get you to a point where you have different arguments in front of you, different svaras, and now you determine which one's the most plausible. Okay? But that doesn't mean it's a scientific argument. People make that mistake all the time. It's not scientific. There's no scientific argument for or against free will. It's a question of positing various positions and saying which one makes the most sense. Okay? Not only that, okay, even if you want, and this is what Zev wanted to say, even if you want to say that all physical relationships emerge from unified theory, ultimately that doesn't remove the idea of coincidence, because what do you still need? A series of fantastic coincidences to produce the theory. Okay? So you still have to ask, what the heck? Right? Still, it still resonates as a coincidence. And finally, the idea of choice in the universe is the key to this response. Now, this is I don't want to get too deep into this because we're going to take this up again later on in the year. While there is one idea of cosmic inflation, there's also an infinite number of ways to construe the theory of cosmic inflation mathematically. That's an important point.
What's cosmic inflation?
Cosmic inflation is the idea that now the universe is started from the Big Bang and it's continually expanding. Okay? I hate to use the term. It blew up. It didn't really blow up. Okay? It's always expanding. Okay? But there's an infinite number of mathematical equations
that
can lead me to that.
That's generally accepted.
For the time being. Right. Yes. Yes. There's some problems with it. It's required us to introduce other theories to explain how inflation works, like dark matter, dark energy, etc. But, yeah. Okay? Okay. All right? So again, since there's an infinite number of mathematical ways that can work out cosmic inflation, right, that questions the notion of having only one choice. Okay? Again, are any of these persuasive one way or the other? That's up to you. Okay? That's up to you. But you're not going to tell me. There's no way to convince someone and show them that they're wrong about anthropic coincidences. That's my point. There's no wrong or right here. Okay? Okay.
Sure.
So what does that
lead? Like conspiracy theories too.
No, that's a question of reasonable. Now we're getting to plausible. The question is, are anthropic coincidences plausible? Are conspiracy theories plausible? That's a different question. Now we can argue about plausibility. But we're not in the issue of right and wrong. That's a mistake people make.
Yeah, we're almost never in the issue of
right. Are you right about that? Or wrong?
I think I'm right about that.
That's plausible. Okay, good. Next. Now, with that being the case, and I want to finish off with this. If we stick with anthropic coincidences as being something to discuss, we're left with three possibilities. Either they're coincidences, just a coincidence. Number two, there are scientific explanations, which of course, who takes that approach? The scientific world, okay? Or they were put in place by something. So let's ignore the first one, that they're just coincidences. We're left with two options that we play with. Either science will explain why you have these coincidences, or some deity or something put these exactly where they are. Okay? Okay. Now,
once you answer, like, then you can answer why the laws were there, why the theory is there, but then whatever caused the theory to be there, why is that there?
Scientific explanation.
I know, so then what it caused... What
scientific explanation.
Yes, you keep going backwards.
Okay.
So you never answer the question.
Okay, maybe.
So why even start answering?
Maybe.
Question placed by X.
Right. Well, except for one sneak move. The sneak move is we can't ask the why by X.
Why not?
That's a different issue. That's a good question. But I'm saying that's the move they would say. The move they would say is, oh, you can ask why within universe, you can ask why. But once you leave it, you can't ask why.
Why not?
Why, that's fair? That's a good question.
No, why?
That's, you're right.
Special
I agree. That's all right. You're changing the rules.
Special
I agree. Okay, hold on. Let me get this one point across.
Special pleading, you find a reason. Just like you say, like, when you say everything needs a cause, and then when you ask why God doesn't need a cause, you give a reason why God doesn't need a cause.
That's also special.
Right,
I understand. We'll get to that. Don't worry. When we take that, we'll get to that. That gets more into the area of contemplating God per se. We'll get to that.
Right.
But for now, if you're left with scientific explanations versus something put everything into place, it becomes very interesting. I'll give you the following examples, okay? If I try one key and a strange lock and it works, what do we call that?
Coincidence.
Coincidence, right? Would anyone disagree with that? Normal human terminology. If I had, that's what we mean.
Like, it's not natural.
Okay, but if I tried a million keys and one key worked in this strange lock, I wouldn't be surprised, because I would say that at some point in time, with all the keys that are available within a million keys, I'll find one key that fits a lock.
Right.
Okay? So therefore, that leads to the weak anthropic principle. Well, assuming they're different keys, obviously. If it's a million the same, no. If it's a million the same key, it's one key.
True.
It's the same key.
Okay, fine. You can still have a million different keys, and none of them could fit.
I know. Of course, it's possible. But let's say it got to number 1 million and it fit. You wouldn't be like, that's a coincidence. What you would say is, eventually, at some point, I'll find the key that fits.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Good luck.
What about coincidence? Like,
let's say I told you that for every lock that exists in the universe, there's a key that opens it up.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say I told you there's a billion locks. Okay, let's say I told you that. Let's say I told you that I have a billion keys.
Unique keys,
okay? At some point in time, when I get through the billion keys, one will match up to the lock.
Right, that's only if you say that every lock has a key.
Correct. It wouldn't be a lock if it didn't have a key. What's a lock without a key?
Just a lock.
No, it's not a lock. It's a relativistic statement. Right, exactly. Remember terms? Absolute. No. That's not a lock.
You get a bolt cutter.
No. And there were no.
You get a bolt.
A lock means something that is right. Exactly, it's not a lock anymore.
Yeah, it is.
A lock is a relativistic statement.
Yeah,
it's like being taller. What?
You
get to
open it with a bolt cutter.
I know.
You can also break
something
the door.
That
like. It's an insult. Same. Like, you know, I'll explain to you later on if you want. Okay. Now, if you say there's a million keys, okay, and I say if one of them opened up the lock, I won't be surprised. That leads to the weak anthropic principle, which is so popular today. A spin-off of the weak anthropic principle is what you guys call the multiverse. Before we get to that, the idea of like this, the idea of many universes would explain anthropic coincidences, meaning that, well, guess what? In this universe, if I deviate from the point 0.001 by point infinite 1, right, this universe won't work, but guess what? Okay, now you got to realize in the evolution of the multiverse theory, okay, on which I'll get to how that worked. There's two theories. There's what's called the multiple domains theory, which isn't as popular, but is actually agreed upon by a lot of physicists, versus the multiple universe theory. Multiple domains means what?
Different parts of one universe.
Right, meaning that maybe the laws... It's interesting. By the way, it's an interesting idea of whether it's, even within our universe, as far as we know it, whether all the laws of physics...
What does it mean? Like people from another dimension?
Did you think of
whatever within the universe itself is, it could be that there are different domains where different rules apply.
Dimensions.
I don't even call it that way. I'll give you an example. Can I give an example? Right, I'm not talking about many universes. We'll get to many universes. I'm saying like this. Some physicists, a minority, believe that there's no such thing as dark matter, but rather, for some reason, the laws of gravity don't apply in certain parts of galaxies. Okay? That'd be an example of, and then because of that, you're going to have to rewrite or figure out how gravity works, but they can't unify it because... gravity works a certain way, and all of a sudden, that fits into relativistic theory. Black holes make sense. But the idea that the rules of gravity, based on all the mathematics, don't work in one part of the universe is a problem. Most reject that.
Did you go to that place?
We're not going anywhere. Anyway.
No, see, like, if you went there, what would happen?
I don't know.
No.
All right, anyway. We wouldn't know, though. We wouldn't know the. And by the way, and even within that, the idea of dark matter and dark energy also, without getting to what those are, there are parts of the universe that don't follow, that possibly don't follow normative laws of physics. That's many domains. The other possibility of knocking out anthropic coincidence is to say that, no, there's multiple universes, meaning that go one universe over, and that deviation wouldn't be a problem, okay?
Wait, didn't we say there's nothing outside the universe?
Not in this theory. In this theory, there's infinite universes.
Oh.
No, there isn't anything outside the universe, right? It wouldn't be like I don't open the door to our universe and then I enter into the other universe. I don't know what separates them, but the point is we're talking about whatever universe is, there's infinite
multiple
of those things.
Multiple universes.
They're not reachable.
It's impossible for us to reach.
Are you choosing to put your hand like
again,
that?
That's why.
You can go to the end of our universe, but you can't.
No, you can't.
Well,
there's no end.
So where does there start? You're restricted. My point is you're restricted within the bounds of your universe.
Correct.
So technically, we
yes.
can go to the end.
That's correct. We're bound by our universe. We live in it. We're bound by it. We're prisoners in our universe. Okay. But the idea of multiple universes, or it's also called as modal realism. Okay. Is that infinite universes exist. It's just like the uncertainty principle. It's a classic example of entering into the normative human lexicon, normal human speech, multiverse, and no one knows what they're talking about. It's no different than uncertainty, right? People think they understand Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Like, it could be Schrodinger's cat. It may be alive, may not be alive. That's not the uncertainty principle. Okay, it's not. But it became part of our normal way of speech, like as if people understand it. Multiverses doesn't mean next door, what's happening right now? It's the same exact thing, but what do you call it? You're wearing a green hat, okay? That's like the point of the multiverse. Right, right. The poly multiverse is to say that there isn't anything... I know, but in the universe next door, it's green.
I know.
Right. The point of the weak anthropic principle idea is to show you that you can get out of the notion of saying that this universe is fine-tuned for human existence. You could say...
Or you might not even exist in the alternate next-door universe. That's also
nothing.
No, I know, but every word that comes...
Like
no, but Max, I know, but that's philosophical. Every word that comes... But I know, but that's just a classic. No, that's a classic human egocentric way of describing the universes.
No,
you gotta understand that, Max.
No, but
once you remove an atom, once you remove one hydrogen atom from this universe, it's a different universe. Doesn't matter if yes.
I mean, one could say that the multiverse works in the sense that since there's infinite of these universes.
But even their moda, this is not a. It's a theory in science that's philosophical because 100%.
There's no way to prove this.
Hypothesis. I agree. They would call it a theory, by the way.
What?
Yes, I've seen it. I'll show you. Remind me later on, I'll show you articles that are called the multiverse theory. But you're right, it is hypothesis.
It's called the multiverse theory. I just disagree with that assessment.
And I happen to agree with that also. It's not. It's not. It's again, let me just bring it into philosophical terms. In other words, now you're left in front of you with two roads you can go down, right? Within anthropic coincidences, you could say that this universe is fine-tuned to our existence, and it's the only one. Okay, you're not bound to say it. You could say that, and then you could discuss theological consequences of that, like Big Bang, something brought about, or you could say that there's an infinite number of universes. Now, infinite number of universes doesn't get rid of the idea of a deity, by the way, because you could still argue something brought the infinite about. You could, but the point though is that what's
but you don't need to.
You don't need to. Nor do you need to with the Big Bang. Not necessarily.
You might.
It's first call, again. It all comes down to. We're going to get to that in a second. It all comes down to what's plausible.
Existence.
Well, it all gets to what's plausible. That's the question. The question is, what's the more plausible approach? And a person has the right to say, it's more plausible for me to believe that this universe is fine too far existence versus accepting the idea of infinite number of universes. Okay?
There's no way to
time. There's always a universe.
Because it questions the bias we have that this universe is fine-tuned for our lives.
I know this universe.
The whole dimension thing, it makes.